Today's scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And it reads, "Except the Lord build the house, thy labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate."
I'd like to say good morning to everyone. I'm going to ask Belton to turn it up a little bit because I'm not going to be talking up. My voice is out of whack this morning. I've been sick all week. I ask that you keep me in your prayers. It's on. It's on now. Ask that you keep me in your prayers. I already asked Brother Brian to stand ready for tonight. But we'll do our best to preach the word and to encourage us in the most holy faith. This month, the month of December, is a great month. It's a great month for many reasons. One of those reasons is because people slow down just a little bit and recognize the blessings of life. They recognize family. They recognize their occupation. They recognize their means in order to take care of their families. And some even recognize the Lord. You know, I think about that, and I think about the great gift of family. And this is why I wanted Psalm 127 to be read. And we'll look at those passages here in a few minutes. But friends, when we consider this great month of December, it's a time for us to get together with our families and have a great meal, to get together and get to know one another, and also get together and learn more about our God, learn more about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Many, this particular month, they're going to look at Christmas Day as the birthday of Jesus Christ. But if you look at Luke chapter 2 and put that in your notes, verse number 8, you'll see the day in which Jesus was born was not during the winter. Just wanted to throw that out there as an excellent point for us to consider. But when you think about what the world is doing, at least they are acknowledging the Lord. We're thankful for that. But here, as members of the Lord's church, we're always acknowledging the Lord. We're thankful for him being born of a virgin, that miraculous birth. We're thankful that he lived the life that he lived, a life of righteousness. And we're thankful because of that righteousness they put him to death. But he gave his life for us. He gave his life for the world. And because of that, we ought to be eternally thankful and grateful. When we think about the family, what a blessing to know that every part of the family is important. And every part of the family is a blessing. I hope, pray, and trust that you listen to the words this morning, because in these words, hopefully your marriage will be enhanced. Hopefully your family will be better. Maybe you're not married. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe you're separated. Hopefully your life will be better just because of some of the words that come out of the Bible today. You think about your wife, those who are married and have wives. Your wife is a gift, according to Genesis 2. Those who have husbands, even though he may not act like it, he's a gift too, Ephesians 5. And when we consider your children, we know that they are a gift from God, Psalm 127. And we'll look at those passages here in a few minutes. But marriage is a gift. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us in the book of Malachi, chapter 2 and verse number 11, that God loves holy matrimony. I'll let that sink in a little bit. God loves holy matrimony. But God hates divorce. Malachi 2:15-16. He hates it. Now we know that God allowed divorce according to Matthew 19 verses 1 through 9. And he gave an exception for that divorce. We see that in verse number 9, fornication. You don't have to, but he gives an exception. He would rather you work it out, but sometimes they cannot be worked out. That's understandable. However, he gives an exception. In the Old Testament, it was no exception. We understand, according to what Jesus told those religious leaders in Matthew 19, 4 and following, it was because of the hardness of your hearts. But in the beginning, that was not the case. So when we think about marriage is a gift. We ought to treat it as a gift. I know one thing, this particular lesson and study convicted me, because sometimes we get a little bit on the complacent side in our marriages. We take one another for granted. And friends, we should not do that. We should nurture our marriages. And when you think about the family is to be a nurtured people. It's to be a cherished people, a developed people. Everybody ought to benefit in the family. Ephesians 5 and also Ephesians 6. But in this family, it's a people who are respected, a people who are corrected, a people who are blessed, a people who are honored. And friends, this is why these things ought to be taught in the home. It's why these things ought to be taught and trained in the home. Because the home is vitally important. And sometimes when these elements and these characteristics are not there, it causes disturbances, it causes distractions, it causes unnecessary pain. But friends, as the Lord's church, the church of Christ, let us not fall asleep on these things. Let us keep our spiritual eyes open. Let us realize that God wants us to be a set apart people and not listen to the voices, the noise that is around us. He wants us to hear what thus saith the Lord concerning the family, concerning this great gift. And friends, family is a gift. And sometimes many, even in the church, they throw away the gift that God has blessed us to have, and that's the family. Let's not be distracted by the glamour and the gold that is around us, but let us consider the ways of the Lord and seek to treasure the things that God values. God values the family. Therefore, God wants us to return a blessing, return an offering. What do we mean by that? God wants the family to return back home to Him. God wants the children to return back home to Him. Our families, again, are a gift from God. And because it's a gift of God or from God, this gift ought to be a gift to those around them. Oh, yes, friends, our families ought to be a gift to those who are in our immediate circle, those who know us as people of God, those who know our family ought to benefit because we are the children of God. Our families ought to be an aroma unto God, a sweet smelling savor, if you will. Those who understand God's will and God's word and are attempting to truly do the will of God understand that we ought to live our lives in a way that God is glorified, the church is edified, and the world is notified that our family belongs to the Lord. We ought to have the mindset of Joshua. As for me and my house, chapter 24, verse 15, we will serve the Lord. That should be our mentality. And the question we have to ask ourselves, is our family a gift? Is our family driven by the graciousness of God? Are we showing the graciousness and the praise to Almighty God? Is our family a scent of gratitude? Do we have the right attitude in our families? In Psalm 127, if you will, turn there. And as you're turning there, we ought to have this attitude. Because my Father in heaven gave me my family, I should want to protect it, guard it, secure it, and I should desire to give it back to Him. Reminded of a few examples of that. You know, when you give your child a toy, you take them to the store and you buy them a nice little toy they've been asking for, crying for, begging for. And they take that toy and they tell their friends, you can't play with this toy. This is my toy. My mom and dad got me this. In one sense, it ought to be very gratifying. In another sense, you want them to share that. But at least you see them striving to secure it, to take care of it, because they understand the giver of the gift. As a teenager, as we buy our children cars and bicycles and things that are more expensive, if you will, we don't want them to take that car and to just run it down the street 100 miles an hour, running into everything and people. We want them to have gratitude and to protect it. Why? Because my mom gave me this. My dad bought me this. I want to protect it. Same thing when it comes to adults. Our Father gives us our spouses. At least if you was walking according to the Spirit's teaching, A lot of times when we get out there and we're doing things we have no business doing, we end up meeting people we shouldn't meet. But when we think about being adults and our spouses, our children, our jobs, our peace of mind, shouldn't we protect those things? Shouldn't we guard them? Shouldn't we secure them? The answer is yes. Notice Psalm 127. And Psalm 127, very powerful, powerful psalm. It's a psalm of ascent. It's a psalm in which they would be walking up Jerusalem's mountain, going to offer up worship and sacrifices unto God. And they would chant these particular psalms. This was one of those particular chants, if you will. Notice what your Bible says. Unless the Lord builds the house, literally the home, the family, unless the Lord establishes the family, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord, Jehovah, guards, meaning keeps, well, how will God keep it? Through his word, through his precepts, his commandments. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain for nothing. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. Notice the language there. To eat, to be nourished by the substance of pain and hardship and hurt and idols, literally in the Hebrew. For so he gives, this is God, God gives his beloved those whom he deemed pleasant, those whom he cherished. He gives them great sleep, great rest, literally a good conscience. One thing that it is hard to purchase, one thing that it is hard to have, is a good conscience. When a man or a woman can go to sleep at night with a good conscience because they're doing the will of God, because they're doing that which is right in their family. Oh, friends, you're talking about good sleep. But when we're not doing right by the family, when we're not doing right by God, our conscience ought to bother us. Why? Because we would rather our conscience bother us and we get it right than for our conscience to be seared and we don't get it right. God wants us to be a people who enjoy sleep. But notice what he says. Behold, pay attention, look, children, offspring are an inheritance, a heritage, a possession, a portion from the Lord. Friends, let me say this. Whether your child came into this world the right way or the wrong way, there's still the right thing. You still have a responsibility to do right by them. You still have a responsibility to lead them back home to God. You still have a responsibility to love them and cherish them and give them everything that they need spiritually, emotionally, psychologically to get them back home to God. Why? Because they're from the Lord. The fruit of the womb. And let me say this as I'm flying over. Only women have wombs. When you think about the woman is a man with a womb. Men don't have wombs. I was reading something just yesterday, and what it said, in 5 years, what they're trying to do is to find a way to implant a womb inside of a man. Oh, the wisdom of God. He didn't have to do that. He knew what he was doing when he made a man and he made a woman. When he made an ish and he made an isha, that is nothing but Hebrew for male and female. He knew what he was doing. He put the womb in the woman because he wanted the seed to go into the uterus or whatever it is and have that baby inside of the womb. Just because I look pregnant don't mean I am. Here's the point. The fruit, the product, the produce of the womb is, I like the King James Version says, his reward. The New King James Version says, is a reward, literally, the wages. Friends, if you, sisters, if you have had a child, God has blessed you. Do not take that for granted. If your children have already grown and gone, you still have a responsibility to love your children, to nurture your children. The responsibility is different, but you still have that responsibility. If your children are young and they're in your home, you have a responsibility. Why? Because the fruit of the womb is His reward. It's God's reward. God wants them back. And notice the illustration that Solomon gives here. He says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Look at this, friends. Arrows in the hands of a warrior. A brave man, a strong man, a mature man, a trained man. Friends, when we think about warriors, we think about those who are disciplined, bold, and balanced, and prepared, and attentive, focused. One thing about those arrows, that warrior depended upon that arrow to take out everything that is in the way. Why? Because his life depended upon it. Isn't it interesting that our lives depend upon our children? Our children as men. And this is why we need to be men in the Lord's church. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13, Paul instructs those Corinthian brethren to be men, to be strong. And friends, we need more men in the church. We need more men that's going to stand up and be men. Be strong, be brave, be trained, be disciplined, be balanced, be prepared, be attentive, be focused. We need more of those things. We need more men who understand their responsibility in the home. Not just on the job, not just in the community, but in the home, where it's important. The very foundation of the world. Not just in America, but in China and in Japan or in any other country. God wants men to be men. Why? Because the Bible, the Word of God, is for all mankind. If I was to go to China tomorrow and begin preaching next Sunday, I would preach the same lesson. Because God wants men to be men. Men who are trained and disciplined. And when you think about a soldier or a warrior, friends, if he wanted to go home, if he wanted to make it through the battle and make it back home to his family, he had to be attentive. He had to understand who his enemy was. Friends, just like our children, notice the latter part of that verse, so are the children of one's youth. Oh, friends, let us keep in mind that our children are going to go in the direction that we point them. And it's important for us to point our children in the right direction. That's why it's important for the gospel to be taught from the pulpit. It's important for the Word of God to be taught. Why? Because God's people deserve to be pointed in the right direction. Your children deserve you talking to them about the snares of this life, about the beauties of God, about the truth of the gospel, about where they come from, about where they're going, and about who Jesus Christ is. They deserve that. They deserve that more than the money you make. They deserve that because they're going to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer of the things that they have done in this body, whether it be good or bad one day. They deserve that. Now, what they do with it when they get older is on them. But they deserve the foundation while they're in your home. And friends, what a beautiful gift that God has given us. Beautiful gift. We live in a very commercialized society today. They're using the birth of Jesus, if you will, as a platform to sell their material goods. But friends, if anything, we ought to be using this time and opportunity to help people see the glory of Almighty God. What a beautiful, beautiful treasure we have in our hands. Notice verse 5. Happy is the man. Literally in the Hebrew, how happy is the man who has his quiver, his sack, his pouch full of arrows. You know, there was a time when Evelyn and I was rearing our children. They said, well, how many children y'all have? We got 5 children. Y'all don't have a television? Now, we're laughing, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but you see how stupid that sounds? In light of what God says in his word, that's stupid. God says, how happy is the man whose quiver is full of kids. That's what God says. Let me calm down. But sometimes we laugh at those cute, stupid statements. And it's stupid. Because God says when a man has a lot of kids, he ought to be happy about it. Do not let anyone tell you because you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kids that you don't have a television. You just tell them Psalm 127, you walk off. Because it's just obvious. They don't know what God says about having kids. It's a blessing to have kids. It's a blessing, friends. And if we keep listening to the world around us, we'll get to a point where no one will have any kids. It'll be all about them. God wants us to have children. Why? I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because I want to share my glory with them. I want to share glory. What a beautiful, beautiful idea. Notice, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies. Notice, they shall speak with those who are active oppressors. Where? In the public meeting places, in the gates. The word speak there in verse number 5 is very powerful. It's the idea of the process of speaking. The idea of having great thoughts and a good conscience and the ability to articulate truth. Think about that. This mighty warrior has these arrows and he points them in the right direction. They go in the direction of the mighty warrior. In order for the children who are the representation of the arrows, if you will, to go in the right direction, the children who are the arrows must listen to the warrior. Mike, it's your responsibility to listen to me. You don't listen to any other man unless you listen to me. And when you listen to me, then you can listen to other men because I'm going to point you to the right men to listen to. Here's the problem. We allow our children to listen to just anybody and they won't even listen to us and we're the one that's providing for them. That makes no sense. Why? God is the one that provides for us. Why? Because God is the one that say, listen to me. What happened in the garden? Eve listened to the serpent instead of listening to her husband and listening to God. Chad, your responsibility is to guide your family in a way that they're listening to God. And when they listen to God, they benefit. There's not a person on the face of the earth that will benefit in life when they don't listen to God. It just won't happen. So you look at this text, and it's powerful. It's so powerful that it is actually a gift all by itself. God wants us to be a people that listen to him and train up our families. Well, what if I don't have a husband at home? Well, you have much work to do. And that's fine. Your children can still be grounded and rooted in love, grounded and rooted in Christianity, grounded and rooted in the Word of God. You just have to work harder at it. But it can be done. 3 things. Application wise, number 1, give the gift of time and attention. Number 2, give the gift of training and admonishment. And number 3, give the gift of truth and application. Time and attention, training and admonishment, truth and application. Now, what do we mean by this? Train up your children in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs. The word train is vitally important there. As a matter of fact, If we want our children, listen to this, to be a gift for God, because we want to give our children back to God, we got to train them in the very words of God. It can't be sporadic. It can't be every other day. Every day you got to talk to your children about the principles of God. Every day you got to read the Word of God, because that's where our spiritual milk is. That's where our spiritual food is. This is where our guidance is. This is what helps us to discern good from evil. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. If you're a grandparent and your children are not bringing your children up this way, encourage them. Encourage them to do so. Why? We want them to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." Those are the words we want to hear. So how do we do this? Since my family is a gift from God, how do I help them to be that gift? Where do I start if I haven't been doing this? Number one, every day, no matter what's going on in your life, doesn't matter how tired you are. Now, I know I'm in your house right now. I'm in your house. Because we live in a very on-the-go society, and we're always tired. So what we do is we send our kids to their room, or if they're not already in there, and we just kind of leave them be. Stop the train. I even got to tell my son sometimes, "Come out that room, boy, sit in here." Mike, I ain't embarrassing. I'm just making my point. You big enough to handle this. Because somebody going to say, "Don't be using your son like that. That boy, he's a hoss. Don't worry about this." Think about this, friends. If you allow your children to go in their room and stay in their room, you're leaving a child to themselves. Who's teaching them? Who's guiding them? Who's protecting them? Who's helping them? And then 10 years later, their mind is somewhere and you can't get it back. We have to realize that this gift that God has given us, we have to protect it. Read to your little ones. Teach them to honor the Lord through quietness and listening. What do I mean by this? Teach your children at home how to come to church. Train them at home how to come here. You can't go nowhere in the scriptures and people come before God chaotic. You won't find it. You always have to come with reverence and awe and respect. Why? Because we're in front of Jehovah. This is not Obama. This is not Trump. This is not Putin. This is Jehovah we're before. And because we're before Jehovah, we have to train our children how to come before this great and awesome God. We have to. Friends, it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens through training. Train your children to come before God. Demonstrate with pictures and songs where God is and who created them. Friends, we live in a world now where people are saying all types of things concerning who created them. You came from the gorilla. I may look like one, but I didn't come from one. It's not my daddy. It's not my brother. It's not my uncle. Therefore, I don't belong to the monkey train. I don't belong to that family. I belong to the family of God. And every single person on the face of the earth belongs to God because they're made in the image of God. But here's the problem. When man sins, now they have to be made in the image of Christ. Romans 8, verse 29. So we have to train at home. Train them how to come before Jehovah. Train them. So how can the church assist? The church assists with this great gift that God has blessed you to have, blessed me to have. We will not only encourage, but we will enforce the Bible. We will make sure that the Bible is taught. When they come to Bible class, we will help you take care of your gift. We will help you take care of your family. The elders will do their job of making sure they go see you, making sure that you are being shepherded, making sure that you're being nourished and provided for spiritually. We will make sure of that. Why? That's their responsibility. My responsibility and any other preacher who gets up here and preaches the word of God or teaches a class, their responsibility is to make sure that they have investigated the word of God, that they have verified the truth, and now they're ready to extend it to the people. That's our responsibility. And if that's not our responsibility, if that's not what we're going to do, then let's pack up the church and let's all go. It ain't gonna be good. Friends, we do our children the same way. We tell them, if you're going to live in my house, you got to live by my rules. We say that. This is the Lord's house. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I know you love the Lord. Let me tell you why I can prove it. You hear? You want a better life. You want the right life. You want the righteous life. You want to protect the gift that God has given you. God has given you a gift. Your family is the gift. We will ensure that Bible lessons will be motivating and encouraging and challenging. We'll make sure that we demonstrate godly leadership, worthy of following, and involve everyone because everyone is important. We will do right by your family. We want you to let us help you with your gift, with your family. But you got to bring them. You got to bring them to Bible class. Got to bring them to worship. And you got to let them know, hey, this is important. Bible class is important. Worship is important. Spiritual education is important. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That's important. Search the scriptures for the end that you think you have eternal life. That's important. It's important. It's just as important as anything else in your life, more so. Friends, how can you help the church? You can help the church by teaching your children to seek first the kingdom of God. Their sports and everything else is fine. We love to go watch them, but you tell them that's second. Their higher education, that's fine, but you tell them that's second. God takes second place to nobody. We teach our kids that. And just hopefully they'll grab hold to it when they get older. It's a gift. And we owe them. Let's do our part no matter what. Doesn't matter how tired we are. Grandparents, do your part. Help your children to rear their children. Don't have the attitude, well, my child rearing days are over. They may be. But your mentoring days are never over. Titus chapter 2. We're all in this together. God wants to see every single person that's in this building on that great last day. He wants to say well done to every single person in here. And friends, let's do our part in taking care of the gift that God has given us. Except the Lord builds the house. They labor in vain that build it. Friends, how can God build your house? God builds your house just like he has always built everyone else's house. Through his word, through his teachings, through his guidance. One of the hardest things to teach about and talk about is the family. Because there are so many challenges. Let me say this. Cherish your family. Cherish your marriage. And I'm talking more to me than anybody that's in here. Cherish your marriage. Because it's you, your spouse, and God. And when you violate that, violate God. Cherish your relationship with your spouse. And give your children an opportunity to see what a relationship with God looks like. So pray for your family. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. We pray for our government. I think some of us pray for our government more than we pray for our spouses. We're more concerned about what America is doing instead of what's going on in our houses. Let's pray for our families. And when we do that, let's study with them. Let's talk Bible with them. Let's talk about things that are important. But then, let's go out and let's work for the Lord. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, let's glorify the Lord. Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16, let's glorify the Lord. Let's go out there and let's do good for God. So those on the outside can see our family and they can say, I want to be like your family. I'm glad that you want to be like our family, because our family is based upon the Word of God. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. The Lord built the church. It's interesting that the church is made up of families. And we bring our family dynamic here. Those who hear the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the very appearance of Christ, when they accept that gospel, God adds them to the family. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, I tarry long that you may know how you ought to obey yourself in the family of God, which is the church of the living God, pillar and ground of the truth. The family. Don't you want to be part of this family? You have to be baptized to be part of this family. Why? Because you've got to have your sins washed away. You have to have your conscience cleansed. You have to come in contact with the blood of Christ. Everyone who is part of this family has been born again. We're partakers of salvation. We have entered into the kingdom of heaven. John 3:3-7. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Will you be willing to repent of your sins? Turn away from sin. Turn away from evil. Turn away from denominationalism. Just turn away from it and turn to God. He'll save you. And that's really what the family's for. The family is to save you. But if we isolate ourselves, what happens is the wolf gets us all by ourselves and he devours us. Stay with your family. Stay with your family. If you're a member of the Lord's church and you haven't been staying with your family, you're in one part and they're in another part. I beg you to reconsider and do more with your family. Do more with the church, your family. Do more. Why? So you can stay in the family. Because one day when Jesus Christ comes back, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 through 16, he's coming back for the family. It's called the church. It's coming back for him. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back one day. What you coming back for, Lord? The family. The bride, the church, I'm coming back for her. Be part of this family as we stand and as we sing this invitation.